love being together as church family. It's really precious. And I love that we got together. That was very much a joint seeking God as we sought for a vision that came out of 2019. And then we sat with that, really leaning into what's our identity in God, and what does it mean to pursue this vision out of a kingdom mindset as we spent time last year. But now, 2021, and for the next 5 years, we're really seeking God about what we're building very intentionally. And that's the whole purpose of vision, is we want to have something that we can say, this is where we're going, here are the steps towards it. And we want that accountability, and we want to have that sense that we're partnering with the Holy Spirit, being really intentional in seeking the things that God has invited us to. Xander, you were brilliant. You said transforming life through Jesus, and that's our mission. That's what we always want to see, transformation through Jesus. And our vision is where we lock it down and say, okay, in the next 5 years, it's going to look like this by the grace of God. This is not something we do ourselves. This is something that we partner with the Holy Spirit. There's some things that only God can do, and there's some things that He won't do without us. That's the privilege and the responsibility of being church family. This is the last piece of the vision that we've been sharing. The outreaching as overflow is the kind of short version of that last section of our vision, where the invitation is to go out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day, wherever we are. And I love that we can do that as a church, do some things together, but that's something that every individual can do. Because you can go places in your weekday that we don't go as a community. All of you have a weekday life. All of you have connections, relationships where you can demonstrate God's goodness. 2 weeks ago, we spent some time flourishing as family. We looked at identity, and we just unpacked some of the things that we're going to be looking at this year, especially in second term. Flourishing as family will look like having our hearts healed up and knowing who we are. Really important. It will look like passion and purpose. Like, wholehearted isn't, oh, well, yeah, if I feel like it. Wholehearted means I know who I am and I'm going to pursue the things of God passionately, and I know where my gift fits in the body. It looks like having healthy relationships, and I'm really excited that we have a relationship course in second term that's going to be really great tools for us to really flourish in our relationships. Our marriages, our relationships with our kids, our relationship with our friends, and that whole area of intergenerational connections. In a church, we want to see old and young actually flourishing together. The second area that we unpacked was the area last week where Brad unpacked what does it look like to be developing as disciples. And that looks like not becoming somebody you aren't, but actually becoming more of who we are. It's not changing to kind of do something false. It's actually, who did God create you to become? Well, you'll be more of that as a disciple of Jesus. We talked about that it actually requires intentionality, and we had some great testimonies where we heard people who've intentionally put themselves in a place where they can develop and just saying yes to God. It also means that we actually need to know who Jesus is if we're going to follow Him. Sometimes we don't have great, accurate ideas of who Jesus is. So we're going to spend some time in third term actually unpacking who Jesus is in a fresh way. And the last one, which I really love, is that we actually grow and develop better together, which is why you're seated like this, because we want this to be an environment where we talk, where we contribute, where we actually partner with God in developing our own lives and actually developing, helping others develop as disciples as well. Because when we're helping someone else to grow, to be more like Jesus, we actually find ourselves growing more as well. So that's where we've come from. That's the 2-minute version. We're actually going to ask you a question now to share with the person next to you, or turn around and share with the person behind you. Really want to encourage you, and we want you to think about, why should we outreach? Why would we want to go out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness? Why should we go out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness? Why can't we just be happy with who we have here? We've got a nice family. All right, what are some answers? What did you come up with in your brilliance? to bring hope. There's a lot of people in our circles of friends who don't have hope because God told us to. That's a really good answer. It's just straight out obedience. Good plan. Because when you have something wonderful or someone wonderful, you want other people to enjoy that as well, enjoy him as well. To share the unique love of God. Why is God's love unique? It is different from how the world does love. The world does love, you love me and I'll love you. God does love not in transaction. He does love, I have just chosen to love you. End of story. Amazing. Who else does love like that? Only people who've experienced that love. Thanks, Brad. Do you want to lead us on with some more thought and brilliance?
It's just a few other thoughts as to why. Because it's so important to know why we should be outreaching. What's our motivation? And I guess that first one, probably leading on from what Donna was saying, is that hopefully all of us here have experienced God's goodness and grace in our life. And really God wants us to do that out of the overflow of our heart. And so I love that outreaching as overflow is beautifully ambiguous in that it means two things. One, that we outreach as a church, as overflow together. It's something we do both individually and together, but hopefully we can't, you know, if we love God, we can't help ourselves. And particularly when God wants other people to experience him the way that we have. Probably a couple other ways is that, as we talked about developing as disciples, people aren't going to have the best life possible until they come to know God. We need to give them the gift or the opportunity of getting to know God and to change the way they think, because if people are listening to the media and what they see on TV, God isn't very good. God isn't very kind, but we get to show God's kindness and his grace. We get to show that to people who deserve it, and particularly people who don't deserve it, or people that we like and people that we don't like. But it's helping people change their mind, helping people to repent, to change the way they think. As Paul said in Romans, that it's the kindness of God that leads people to change the way they think about him. It's not his judgment. It's not just some theology. It's people experiencing his kindness. And we get to be those people who show God's kindness. Probably another thing that helped me change my mind about missionary service and people going to reach even nations that don't know God is that in Revelations it says that, you know, when Jesus returns, all nations are going to be worshipping before him. Everybody is going to be worshipping Jesus. So it's a little bit cruel for people not to know about Jesus because they don't get the opportunity to worship him. It's not that they have to be forced or convinced or tricked or cajoled into worshipping Jesus. Everyone is going to be seeing Jesus who he is and worshipping him. But we have that opportunity now to help people to come to know him. And it's done in, you know, often in small increments, but it starts by us boldly demonstrating his goodness to them. Just, you know, we are all missionaries. We have a mission as a church to see life transformed through Jesus. That's our mission. And so all of us are missionaries. Some of us might be called to go across the globe. Some of us might be called to go across the state. But most of us are going to be called to go across the street or called to go across the room in our workplace or education. So it's just that taking on that invitation for God for us to be on mission with him.
That's a good reason. There are lots of really good reasons where we're invited to play our parts. This is probably one of the most challenging, well, actually it is. It's the most challenging out of those three areas. Flourishing as family, that's fun. Developing as disciples, that's a little bit challenging. Outreaching as overflow has the potential to be the most challenging. What is it that stops us from outreaching? I want you to think about that for a minute and turn to the person next to you again. And what are some of the things that stop us from going outside ourselves and sharing God's goodness boldly? Off you go. What stops us from going beyond ourselves? Fear of rejection. Who else had fear of rejection or something like that? Yep. Yes, many of us have those kind of, oh, what will people think? What are some other things that just keep us not going out of our way? Selfishness. Thanks, Andrew. Not knowing the right strategy or not knowing what to say or what to do. Very honest. Anyone else? Fear of man? fear of misrepresenting Jesus. What if I make a hash of it? And the person thinks, oh, I hope if that's what Jesus is like, I don't want, yeah, that's a good fear. Don't want to seem like you're a salesperson. Brad.
Yeah, I guess for me personally, there's probably a number of things that stop me or discourage me. One is that we live in a me, I, and we are influenced by the culture around us. And we have to be really intentional to allow the Holy Spirit for that not to be our bent and the way that we think about ourselves, because this is the most unselfish thing. But didn't Jesus just live his whole life for the benefit of people around him? It's also really important to understand we have an enemy that whispers in our ear, don't worry, it's not going to have any effect, you're not the right person, what if you stuff it up?
Later, do it later.
So we just have to be conscious. So we have an enemy that's actively working against us individually and as a church to not
stupid.
Bother. I think one of the things I'm really convicted about is when I put my relationship with people above Jesus's relationship with people. If I think I want to stay in good terms with this person, and if I do something or say something that might interrupt that, but again, how more important is Jesus' relationship with everybody than our relationship with them? So even if it means that could be at risk, isn't it worth it for their benefit? And I think the last one is the danger. You know, we have a beautiful cusp area, community usable space, and we have some really nice community activities that we run from time to time, but I think it's a danger for us to go, oh, well, we've done our outreach, we put on some church events, if people want to turn up, they can, outreach done. Tick! And it's like, they are important, and we want to continue to do those, but we don't want to kind of rely on those for people who don't yet know Jesus to come to know him. It's not the way that Jesus taught his disciples to go about connecting people with God. It's about us being unselfish, taking the risk, and doing things for the benefit of others in their comfort zones, in their spaces, in the places where we interact them that ain't necessarily on our church grounds. What about for you, Chris?
Sounds like going out of our way, doesn't it? Not waiting for people to come in to us. Going out of our way. Well, I have a confession to make, and it's one of those things that God has shown me in the last little while, and I just really felt to share that with you as a church family. And one of the things that stopped me from going out of my way or outreaching as Overflow has been the whole religious thing about how ugly some people are when they're sharing Jesus. Has anybody come across ugly evangelism before? It's rude, it's insensitive, it's got an agenda, it's awful. And I grew up in a religious environment, and I hated that stuff. I hated it. And what happened in my heart as I was wanting to have nothing to do with that sort of ugly evangelism, I'll call it, well, I didn't realise until God showed me this week, I was judging those people. And the judgment that I put against them actually stopped me doing much outreach at all, because I was so concerned not to be like that, that I stopped going out of my way. And I actually spent some time repenting with God. I got Helen and Brian to pray with me through the week. And I just want to own that as a church, we haven't been super outwardly focused, and I think I've set the pattern for that, but I've repented to God, and I want to ask your forgiveness as a church body, and I believe that God is resetting something to cause us to be an outward focused church. Is anybody in agreement with that? Thank you, Jesus. And you know what happened? God showed me as well that when I was busy judging those people on street corners or however they were doing it in an ugly way, there was not anything in me that caused me to pray for them, to say, Jesus, these people just need to know your love. Like, when I judge, I don't pray for and I don't love. So God has forgiven me. And you know, in the last day or two, even since I owned that, God's given me opportunity, and I have gone out of my way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness. So I am excited about that, because I think something is shifting in the spiritual realm for our whole community. That's good. And we want to pray for people. First of all, I want to just give you a moment to say to God, God, is there anything that's stopping me? Like in the same way that I've put my hand up, this is not a heavy thing, but it's just a God, Holy Spirit, is there anything that's stopping me personally from outreaching? Just take a moment, let the Holy Spirit show you anything. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. Just come, Holy Spirit. I just want to give you an opportunity to pray with each other. There's something so powerful when we pray with each other. If God's shown you something, just share it with the person. You can pray for 30 seconds and it doesn't have to be long and complicated. It can be just, yeah, I've got a real fear of how people will respond or whatever. Just take a few moments and pray with each other about those opportunities. Holy Spirit, come. Just release your grace over your people. Great boldness, great boldness. No blockages, no hindrances. Thank you guys. I love it. It's so powerful when we simply just take moments to pray with each other. The last question that we're going to explore together is what can help us start to outreach and increasingly look for opportunities to boldly demonstrate God's goodness. So we're just going to be considering this. You can be thinking about what could help you, but I've just given Brad an opportunity to...
When I ask God, what else is that's stopping me from being willing to outreach is, just heard you say, you don't ask very often how you should do it or when you should do it or who you should do it for. And I think the real key, which I see modelled around me so often, is just learning to listen and obey. Just that simple stopping,
what are you
asking
saying, God?
Who do you want me to show your goodness to and how do you want me to do it?
It's,
you know,
really
we're encouraged
simple, isn't
it? To make the most of every opportunity. And I think if we had our spiritual radar open, there would be a lot more opportunities that in our days that wouldn't require us a lot of time or inconvenience necessarily to be able to show God's goodness in various ways. You know, as I've said, obedience, someone once said, obedience is God's love language. He loves people to obey him, but not obey him as slaves and people that keep commandments and do the rules and the must-dos and the must-not-dos, but obedient children. And we all know how lovely is it when our kids take our advice and know what we know what's good for them and do that. God says, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. He'd rather us have a willing heart than put money in the plate or to do some other form of sacrifice. And it's asking, yeah, God for those creative ideas. Just how do you want me to show goodness that's appropriate? As David said, what's appropriate for this person? What's a form of kindness? Not do the same thing for everybody you come across, but God, what would be really kindness for this person? Yeah, and it's often in the small ways. It's you know, Jesus said, you know, give someone a cup of water in my name and you'll be blessed. It doesn't have to be $1 million or giving, you know, weeks of your time. It can be often in those small ways. One of the most impacting testimonies was such a simple thing. I have shared this before, so forgive me if you've heard it, but one of the most impacting experiences of my life was going with Youth with a Mission, YWAM, over to Barcelona when they had the Olympics and they had Olympic outreach and had 4,000 or 5,000 people just going out in the city and just sharing God's kindness and the good news of God's gospel in the opportunities of people in Olympic fever. And then we'd come back and have big worship services and people giving testimonies of all the things that God did in and through those events, which was so heavily prayed for. But the one testimony the only testimony I remember that stood out was a little short lady that got up and said, I was sitting on a train on the way back to where we were staying, and it was a really packed train, as all trains were in that time. And God said to me, go down and talk to this person at the front of the train and tell them that Jesus loves them. And they're sitting there going, oh, really? Like, what's the point of that? And just wrestling through, and God said, go down and tell this person that Jesus loves them. Go down and tell Jesus. It's kind of, okay, God, I'll do it. So they kind of worked their way to the front, and they just said, tap the person on the shoulder and say, excuse me, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And the person turned to them and said, do you know you're the third person that's told me that today? And it's just such an encouragement of such a small thing, because you imagine the experience of that person, someone coming up the first time and going, Jesus loves you. And it's like, oh yeah, whatever. The second person coming up, Jesus loves you. It's like, whoa. A third person in the same day. And it's just that encouragement to me of, what if we're doing that? What if we're working with God in the way that he's setting people up to experiencing him, and just that reinforcement? And we don't know whether we're the first person who's doing it for the first time and getting that look of rejection, or we're the third person who actually gets to see what God's actually been doing as a sequence of events. So it's just that obedience in the small things, when it's God's timing and God's leading, is so much more powerful than what we can realise. I guess the last thing that can, or a couple of things that can help us, is when we're thinking about people, and particularly people we don't like, people we don't know, is to ask God to help us see them as he sees them. Not to see them with, you know, as we talked about with the youth talk, not to see with physical eyes, not to anticipate a bad reception or response, but just to ask, stop and ask God, okay, before I do this, whatever I'm called to do, help me see them through your eyes. Help me to see them through the lens of grace. See through the lens of them being created in the very image of God, them having honour and value just for who God created them as. It will just change the way that we approach them, our tone, our response to whatever their response is.
Somebody who does this, we love testimonies, and testimonies are just things that give us encouragement and inspiration. Nigel, you're one of these people who just listens to God and does whatever he puts on your heart. So we just love to, it's true, we've watched it. Just to hear an example of what God's given you invitation to do.
In terms of that outreaching as overflow, yeah, you just do what I guess God puts in front of you. I mean, I don't strategize. I don't sit home and work out a plan of how I'm going to meet this many people today and how I can bring them God's love. I know God has made me to fix things, and that's where I get a great deal of joy from. And I love to help people. I don't know whether I should be on the NRMA ad where we just love to help. We're just here to help. And that's what he presents to me over and over and over again. An opportunity. The most recent one is down at a local business here in Madawi where they were having a bit of trouble, and they asked if I could step in out of my retirement and just help them for a while. So that's what I'm doing, just giving them a hand there. But I think all of that comes out of overflow, the second meaning that Brad, I think, was alluding to there of, you know, outreaching not as overflow church, but out of an overflow of us. And I know that one of the most significant journeys I've been on is that identity of who I am.
Yay.
And that I am not what I do. I just do stuff because of who I am. That was significantly helped at School of Revival. That's that first year of School of Revival is really honed in on that identity and knowing that I'm God's, he loves me. It doesn't really matter if that person thinks I'm a weirdo. Okay, so that's me. Thank you.
Thanks, Nigel. We love you and appreciate you. And it is the God in you who's overflowing, and it's really beautiful. We love testimonies, and we're going to be stewarding the testimonies of your opportunities. It's not a competition to say who got the most opportunity to boldly demonstrate God's goodness, but we are going to be celebrating, because we know that you're going to be out in your week looking for opportunities, listening to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to... So come with stories of the opportunities you've had to share God's goodness boldly, because testimonies are so encouraging. Yeah.
Yeah, just the last encouragement that can really help us is the preparation. You know, just before we act in obedience, if we listen to God, he tells us what to do, just be praying for softened hearts and open minds so that people receive what God's kindness and goodness looks like through you in the way that he wants it to, because people have hardened hearts and have fixed minds, and the Holy Spirit can only do those things. We can't convince people. We can only share what we know of God's goodness and allow the Holy Spirit to really challenge them and encourage them to allow God into their life. So I just bless you with the opportunities this week, and we just, just using that preparation before we act in obedience for what God gives us opportunities to show his kindness.
Thanks, Brad. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. We just declare your blessing on those young people who are following Jesus. I'm going to ask, I feel like there's an impartation of boldness that God wants to give to us today. So it's not for the faint-hearted. And I'm actually going to invite you to be intentional and deliberate in stepping forward if you want to receive from God an impartation of boldness. Impartation means just a gift, a Holy Spirit gift of increased boldness. Now, you might already be bold, but I feel like God is upping our boldness level. So I'm going to invite you, if you would like increased boldness to share God's goodness, I'm going to invite you to stand up and to take at least two steps forward. Don't be like, it's actually going out of your way. See, it's going out of your way. It's not like, oh no, it's fine, I'll just stand here and then God will give it to me. No, it's actually going out of your way. So we're going to invite you, Holy Spirit, now to shift us out of our comfort zone, out of our embarrassment, out of our awkwardness, out of our stubbornness, out of our pride, out of our fear, out of our habits. Jesus, we're inviting you to come and fill us with your holy boldness. The holy boldness that comes because we've spent time with the Father, because we've got his heart, because we've got his way of seeing precious people who need hope, who need love, who need life. So Holy Spirit, we're inviting you to come, and for every person who has chosen to receive today, we just declare fresh boldness, just open your hearts. Open your hearts, open your hearts, open your hands, open your wills, Jesus. We give you access to our wills, to the choices that we make, to the decisions that we make, to the actions that we take. We give you access to our wrong beliefs. Holy Spirit, we give you access to shine your light on any beliefs, any systems, any judgments, any inner vows that have held us back from boldly demonstrating your goodness, any lies that we've believed. Holy Spirit, we repent of not carrying your love in the way that you love, Jesus, and we invite you to bring a holy fire of boldness to your church that will be overflowing with testimonies of opportunities that we've had to partner with you to share the good news, to share your kindness and your goodness. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Change us. As we finish, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Just welcome him in to your life. Look ahead at the week that you have planned. Invite him into every day as we invite him to fill us as we go.
Glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
of Holy Spirit-led boldness, Holy Spirit-led creativity, Holy Spirit-led joy, Holy Spirit-led hope. And Father, into every heart and every mind, I ask now that you would just put one thought, one opportunity, one person, that you would just bring one opportunity to mind. And that every single person here, before they leave, will have said yes to you in that opportunity. And if you don't know Jesus for yourself and you're here today, we would love to introduce you to the most amazing, beautiful, incredible person who loves you and gave his life for you. Come and see us. I just invite you to turn to the person next to you and just pray a blessing of boldness, Holy Spirit-led boldness on them as we finish today. Just increase, increase, increase boldness. Just bless, we declare blessing. We just release your boldness, release your creativity.